David Lee Roth and 92.3 Free FM.
Please! Mama, mama, baby. Baby, baby, baby. Baby, baby. Every day I wanna fly my kite. And every day I wanna fly my kite. And every day I wanna get on my camel and ride. Ooh, yeah. Every day I wanna shake your hand. For in the world making me a better man. And every day I wanna get on my camel.
Tellement de puissance, vous sentez le pouvoir. Pure puissance. Radio Roth, 6h du matin.
David Lee Roth, so much power, you can feel the power.
We have a very special guest on the telephone here, one of my heroes. Is he on the phone? Did he make it to the phone?
I don't believe he's with us yet, Dave. I'll just get the head up from Duke's.
Okay,
and,
well,
we'll find out.
Well, then maybe this is part of the theater. Maybe being, you know, we're gonna expect his entrance probably from a whole nother position there. Anyway, I expect, God willing, and the creek don't rise. Otherwise, we're gonna go back to the prostitution topic. Oh, what? This comes up in an hour, right?
Yeah, an hour.
Oh, well, I'll give him the hype anyways. We're gonna be talking to Triple H. I'm an hour early for everything, man. Or I'm 25 hours late. More likely. Here, let me set my watch one time.
Go ahead.
Anyways, at 9 o'clock, clearly at 9 o'clock, it's going to be Triple H. He's the 10-time world champion, one of the biggest stars in WWE. And this Saturday on NBC, Triple H and the WWE are going to air their first Saturday night main event on the network in 13 years. He's a clever guy, really smart guy. He's going to be calling in about an hour, actually. I got a lot of phone calls, actually, about prostitution. So, you know, bang on that. Go ahead, pick up a phone call one time. I don't know who this is. Roth Radio, go ahead, friend. Are you there?
My name is Judy. I don't know if I'm on.
You're on, Judy. You're talking to David Lee Roth. Go ahead.
Yes, but first of all, I got to tell you, you're refreshing. I don't agree with the people that told you to not play different kinds of music. But back to the topic. I'm a woman who definitely believes that prostitution should be legal. I have a 31-year-old son who doesn't have a girlfriend. What are young boys supposed to do? What are guys supposed to do who don't have girlfriends?
What do they usually do when they don't have a girlfriend?
Beg your pardon?
What does your son usually do when he doesn't have a girlfriend?
Well, we don't discuss it, but I have a feeling that he, besides hand jive, yeah, I think he visits a place, I've heard. And we, as you know, in this country, we don't talk about it, but he knows how I feel about it. I think it's ridiculous that men don't have a place where they can go. And as the other caller said, it's a way for men to learn techniques and things to please their future girlfriends and wives.
How old are you, my friend?
I'm 59 years old, but I also want to tell you this. I'm married to a Rock and Roll Hall of Famer, and on one of his solo CDs, he started out a song with Bach. He played his first classical concert at the age of 4. So he did this song playing Bach and then went into full-blown funk. So the people who are telling you not to play so-called ethnic music, I like the music you play.
Okay, I like the way you think, and that kind of music ties into prostitution beautifully, don't you agree?
I think that any kind of music can be used to rock and roll.
Okay, and you say you have one son who's in his early 30s, correct?
Correct.
How do you even know if he's going to a cat house? Who told you that? Or does he just have that smile?
He told me that he, I asked him something one night, he said, oh, he went to go get a massage, and I looked over at him, I winked, and he kind of like looked away and grinned at me, and that was it. I mean, you know, he knows I don't care.
Okay, and
sex life.
And do you agree that when guys don't have that kind of an outlet, that the violence is what follows soon on the heels, whether it's destructing property or toilet fixtures in a bathroom at a concert or destroying each other at the finer drinking establishments on our favorite holidays? Please speak to that.
Well, yeah, I'll refer you back to the Vietnam War. Make love, not war.
I like the way you think, and I appreciate the shout-out for the kinds of music that we play. Hopefully this kind of music will make you in the mood for a prostitute. Hey, don't jump on the edge of the microphone while I'm trying to make a living. Thanks for giving us a call. Yeah. Play it, baby. Roth Radio, 866-313-3733. Who's on the phone? Go ahead. What was that? That sounded like a tape recorder. Put it back on. What is that?
It's the radio. He hasn't turned his radio down.
And I appreciate the shout-out for the kind of music that we play. Hopefully this kind of music will make you in the mood for a project.
Wow. That's you.
That sounds like like we're sampling
it's
ourselves.
Like the past. It's a time machine.
Thanks for giving us a call. Yeah.
That was very postmodern. We got sampled, man. Somebody's a genius out there. Is it still on? Go ahead, play it over the loop.
866-313-3733.
Yeah, that now it sounds like a Prince song, right? Play it again, one more time.
What was that? That sounded like a tape recorder. Put it back on. What is that? Enjoy.
That was a genius move. Whoever saw it, somebody sampled our stuff, tape recorded it, played it back to us over the telephone.
No.
Stop shaking your head. My version is better.
Right.
That's a stalker. That's a sonic digital stalker. Play it again one more time.
Is it still on? Go ahead, play it over the loop.
Welcome to David Lee's Tiki Bunker, where the debris meets the sea and the geniuses join with me. 866-313-3733. One more phone call, please. Roth Radio, you're on.
Yeah,
who is this?
David, how you doing, buddy?
Good, Joey.
Anyway, so I run a small establishment, and you know, and basically cater to guys who, you know, who've been married about 30 years, you know, and they're tired of their wives, basically. And you know, these guys come in, and we make them really happy. My girls, of course, are 21. Because, you know, a lot of these places that are around, they have these girls that are like 17, and that ain't a smart thing, you know. Of course, you know, it's not legal. Now, I've been out to Vegas, and, you know, in Vegas, they got a lot going on there because it's legal. Now, as far as legalizing the situation, I think it would be a good thing because, as the young lady was saying, you know, you got these young kids who are like 17, 18, you know, and they can't quite get a girl. They got no place to go, you know. But, again, I don't think that's the issue because the age thing is something that you got to keep kosher. I think...
Hold on one second, Joey. Let me clarify something here.
Sure.
Is that you manage some of these girls, correct?
That's I manage all these girls.
Okay, great. Well, then you speak with a certain kind of credence that we're going to listen to especially. Continue, please.
Okay, so... The situation is, you know, as I say, the girls are 21 because, you know, I've had girls who come in, you know, with phony IDs, and I know they're lying because I have a way about doing a background check on these girls. A lot of them are runaways, so I know right away they're not 21. Most of the girls that come to me have been around, they've had jobs, you know, secretaries, beautiful girls. But you see, David, they're tired of, you know, their secretarial jobs, so... They come to me, you know, crying. I'm not a pimp per se. I'm a guy in a suit. And I have a duplex. And I take care of my customers, you know. And I got to keep a low profile because, you know, it is illegal. And I've been to jail a couple of times, and it's no fun.
And wait a minute. When you went to jail, what did they treat you like? Because, you know, you're dealing in a sport that everybody participates in.
Well... I got a couple of guys, you know, a couple of officers and detectives that pulled me on the side and, you know, and they see my girls and they said to me as a joke, these girls look really good. And I said, why? If I tell you, yeah, you're going to come, I reset up my place, you're going to arrest me again. Now, what happened to me funny was is I got protection because I got arrested. You understand?
How does that work?
I've got detectives who come to me, you know, and they see my girls. And they've been miserably married for 30 years. Matter of fact, I had one fat guy coming to my place, eating a pastrami sandwich, and the girl took a look at this guy, and she was like, do I have to, you know? I said, baby, you know, everybody got to do what they got to do. And, you know, that's it. So it's not a matter of credence, not even color. It's a matter of class and money. But I'll tell you, if this guy wasn't a detective walking to my place eating a pastrami sandwich, I would have thrown him right out the window. You know what I mean?
I do have a vague idea. Now, I used to date a gal, a little Asian girl, who was a dominatrix. And she told me that her biggest clientele roster was Hasidic Jewish guys. Do you have any experience with that?
Absolutely. I have to tell you a funny small story.
Please.
I have two places. One's in Williamsburg and one's in Manhattan. So as far as that go, yes, because what happens is the nice kosher Hasidic guys, you know, they got 5, 10, 15 kids. And their wives, you know, after about a year, they kind of look like elephants. You know what I mean?
I'll take your word for it.
Oh, man, let me tell you something, you know. And the funny thing is, you know, I respect a lot of these guys because some of them are in the fashion business, the fish business, you know, they got a lot of pressure. And what else? You know, that's pretty much the story. But the main thing is we want to kind of keep the girls legal. You know, we don't want to have problems. But as far as legalizing it, as that lady had said, I think they should do that because, you know, it'd be good for the economy.
I totally believe that. Now, are you finding that your business is picking up over, say, the last 10 summers?
My business has picked up tremendously. Believe it or not, like about a year after 9/11, you know, I was busy, and then after that happened, not everybody got scared. Nobody wanted to go anywhere. So for about a year and a half, it was rough. And then I did a little advertising quietly. You know, David, like you're on the radio. There's a way to juice up a situation, and I'm called. They call me the juice man. I mean, if I was to come on your show, no disrespect, I can juice the whole audience every day, and millions of people will never listen to Howard Stern ever again.
Especially if we have free giveaways, huh?
Yeah, and you want to know something else, David? I'm also a rock star. You know, I know this. You're going to find this quite funny. But I also write songs and I sing professionally, and I've been written up in the New York Times.
It sounds to me like you have a lot of subject matter for great lyrics.
Well, if I could get in front of your face and I have a band and we sound like the Rolling Stones, what should I do? Should I jump off the Empire State Building to meet you, or should I come on your show unplugged and be a rock star just like you? Because
let them take your phone number in the back here. You're a fascinating individual,
well,
my friend.
Let me ask you a question, David. If you hear the name Stevie Blue, my CD is sitting in your place. But
okay, hold on. Name? Hold on one second, Stevie, Joey, whatever.
I'm under two aliases, but okay. It's cool, you know what I mean?
Here we go. Now, I got another caller here, okay? And this is a gal named Margot. You want to argue with her a little bit?
Sure, put it through.
Here we go. Margo, this is David Lee. Are you on? Do you got me there, dear?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, and you want to speak to Joey, right?
Yeah, I think I have something to say to this pimp loser.
Hey, excuse me, ma'am. I'm not a pimp. I am an executive who makes men happy.
Oh, yeah, okay. If you're an executive and I'm friggin' Jesus Christ, okay, and I've come for my second coming, and I've come to redeem you, let me tell you, because you're at the top of the list, buddy. Anyone who would make money off a woman selling her body is disgusting.
You mean like Vogue magazine?
Ma'am, I don't, these women come to me, and they're, some of them have no money, some of them got fired, some of them are tired of their job. Maybe somebody like you who may want to talk to me, maybe you want to get in on the action. You know what I mean?
Excuse me, I went to college. I have a real job. But the problem with all of this is...
Hold on, Joey. Let her speak for a second. Go ahead,
sure,
Margo.
Sure.
The problem with all of this is that women are being exploited. People that are in need that would come to you for assistance, and you would turn them around and have them sell their body. If you think about it in those terms, then maybe you might understand where the people who are out there are coming from. If a woman goes on her own and sells her body, there's nothing you can do about it.
Okay, well, hold on. Margo, you're repeating yourself. Hold on 1 second. What Joey is saying is that he's not convincing anybody to do anything, that they're coming to him and making the offer to him and requesting the employment.
That is correct. That's about the oldest trick in the book that I have ever heard in my life.
Oh, so you think that that standard issue is walking in the door and Joey is talking them into a life of crime? Because I don't believe that's the case.
That is correct.
I don't think that he's talking them into it initially. I think they may have had the idea, but let me tell you what, he doesn't talk against it. He doesn't tell them to stand up for themselves, to get self-esteem, to go to college, to do something with themselves that's worthwhile.
That's not his job. That's not his job.
Now, excuse me, these girls come to me because they need money. I've got all these girls. These are college girls that are working for me. They're putting themselves through college. You know, man, you got to do what you got to do. No disrespect. But let me ask you a question. When you go out on a date and a gentleman takes you out six times and he spends $6,000 and you don't want to sleep with him, what do you think that guy wants to do? You think he's going to see you again?
Go ahead, Margo.
I think the bottom line is that the guy should probably buy some magazines or maybe a porno and, take care of himself, because I don't think it's right. And I know that when I lived up north in the past and I see these girls, these young girls, they're standing on the corner in New York City. They're wearing almost no
clothes.
Excuse
me, ma'am.
Hold on, Margo.
Let me finish.
Sorry, I'm sorry.
It's 30 degrees. The girls are in their underwear on the corner. They're risking getting arrested. They risk getting beaten up. They do get beaten up. They get hurt.
Stop, Margo. Stop. Stop, Margo. Margo. What he's talking about is not streetwalkers at all. And Joey was very careful to explain that he's dealing with 21 and up. He's not dealing with the youngsters and the kinds of characters
that
you're talking about.
Whether or not it happens on the street, bad stuff still happens to these girls. And I have heard from the classiest prostitutes to the most low-life ones. I actually knew a girl who I helped to get out of this, who was making $2,000-$3,000 for a few hours with these men. And this is not a low-class girl who was standing on the corner, but let me tell you what, she still had experiences with being beaten up, with being raped.
Joey, hold on 1 second. These are familiar stories. Joey, how do you prevent something like that?
Well, you know, David, my customers, first of all, these guys are screaming. These are businessmen, CEOs. These guys have wives. And first of all, I have security. Nobody's beating up nobody. Any of my girls get touched, these guys will walk out with no legs and no arms. And I'm not Tony Soprano, but I will tell you this much. Nobody bothers my girls. And these are nice, kind girls who don't do drugs. They don't do heroin. They're straight girls. They come to me because they want to make some extra money.
You know what, Margo? You know what, guys? We got to go to commercial. But, Margo, I accept what you're saying. And I believe that when you're protecting individuals who are out on the street and freezing and getting beat up, I'm absolutely on your side. But it's Joey's phone number that I'm going to ask for here.
David Lee Roth, the 92.3 Free FM.
I got a black magic woman. Roth Radio, 866-313-3733. New York, Philadelphia, Dallas, Boston, Cleveland, Pittsburgh, West Palm Beach, Berlin, Germany, Caracas, Venezuela, can you say that? Paris, France. That was one of the best calls that we had for a while there. That was Joey. That's his alias, right? And Joey was arguing with Margo. She was saying some very clever things there. You know, and what she was discussing, we're talking about the prostitution issue. Started off coming from the news here, saying of how many prostitutes are going to be descending on Germany pursuant to the World Cup coming up there. You know, the soccer finals and everything. And we had a fella, Dirk, call in from Berlin to say it's not millions of dollars, it's billions. billions of dollars that are pouring into a country where prostitution has been legal for a very, very long time. According to Dirk, that's a very acceptable issue. And we had a fella in, sounded kind of local, named Joey. And Joey's what I refer to as a manager, all right? Margot started using the word pimp. And I think perhaps there may be a difference. I'm not a social scientist, obviously. But from a purely cultural standpoint, pimps to me are the guys who prey on the little girls on the street corner. The ones who are freezing, the ones who get beat up. I'm imagining big hats in very colorful Cadillacs, okay? And everything that you've seen in a Clint Eastwood movie and so forth. That's a negative. What Joey was describing was a kind of a management issue, all right? Nobody goes to somebody like him and asks for a job without knowing what they're getting into completely, all right? As far as the age bracket, hey, a 21-year-old today is like a 30-year-old was 10 years ago. That's arguable. But it's like nobody goes to McDonald's and says, "What do you got?" It just doesn't happen. Nobody goes to the Burger King and goes, "Gee, what do you serve?" Nobody goes to somebody like Joe, who's been very open about what he's about and how he runs his business. I got to share with you, half the interns walked into the studio when we went to the commercial and went, "Wow, Joe sounds like he runs a really cool place. Are we going to the VIP on Friday or can we go to Joe's place?" Anyways, let's not get our mind out of our Speedos just yet. Let's take another phone call. 866-313-3733. You're talking to Dave Lee. Go ahead. Who is this?
Hi, this is Michelle.
Michelle, what do you think about all this subject?
I guess I just want to know, as a independent woman of, you know, my own means, that I might not be in a relationship, I want to know if there's going to be men available.
From what I'm seeing on my TV set is that my old dear friend, Heidi Fleiss, and I've known Heidi for a number of years here, has plans, if not actually opened up, a place for you women. She has, she's been on the television, she's been doing interviews, etc., and I don't know what the name of the ranch, I think it's the Bunny Ranch or whatever, which caters to most guys, and you know, they have the gals there, that Heidi has gotten involved and she's created a place for you. Is that some place that you would go when you go to Vegas?
I might, as a woman, you know. I don't see why not. If it's going to be legal, hey, I'm all for equal rights and everything, and you gotta, women have needs too. I don't know why it's all about, the whole conversation is just men, but
well, you know,
we all have needs too.
Well, the first place that you, what you first need is a forum to discuss it, like this radio show. Very few places can a gal like yourself call up and voice an opinion like that, or even explore the idea before you create an opinion. All health issues aside, if you saw a handsome dude and it was within your price range, would you employ him as a prostitute?
I'm thinking, why not?
I'm thinking, what's your number?
Well, thanks. I got a head, but just wanted to throw that out there for thought. So.
Okay, no, well, wait a second. Don't go away too quick here. How old are you, my friend?
40.
Okay, and I imagine that you've been married or you might have had a boyfriend or two in your brief but colorful tenure, correct?
Yes.
Are you currently married?
Yes, I am.
And there's been,
or not.
And, what did you say?
Yes, I am currently.
Okay, and there's been some cooling, perhaps, in the chemistry. Is that correct?
No, not necessarily that. I guess it's more theoretical. If I was in a position where I was not in a committed relationship, you know, I don't see why I couldn't do that.
Okay, but you're saying that in a committed relationship, you would not employ professional instruction, correct?
Probably not.
Okay, what if you went to another woman who was professional assistance? Would your husband approve of that or disapprove?
I don't know. I have to ask him. He might be interested, but I'm not sure on that.
Okay, well, you get right back to us and keep us posted. No pun intended.
Bye-bye.
I'm going to increase the heat here before we go and talk about Heidi's stud farm in Nevada. You gotta love whoever gives these the titles. But Daytona prostitutes are hunting a serial killer. Women involved in prostitution in Daytona Beach, Florida, have reportedly armed themselves and are searching for a serial killer behind the slayings of three residents. Rather than run from the man police labeled a serial killer, streetwalkers in Daytona Beach say they're seeking the serial killer out. So they're already unionizing. there's already a sense of an organizational framework that's getting involved in here. If they can join together this quickly, if what's happening in Germany happens as acceptably, I got to wonder what's happening in the United States, because the back of every magazine's got photo dating. The back of every newspaper has escort service, which is all quotation marks for fun, 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 till her daddy takes the T-Bird away. You didn't know that song was about this, did you? Okay, we're going to take another call here. Bang on it. Roth Radio. You're talking to D-Row. Go.
Hey, Dave. What's up? This is Rich from Long Island. Big fan of yours, but I got a lot of problems with that call a couple times ago. Joe.
Okay.
Dance imitation gangster pimp. I mean, if he had his daughter that was out there prostituting, and you can call it whatever you want. You can call it manager, pimp, whatever you want. If it was his daughter out there, you'd have a whole different ballgame on that.
You're probably correct. And what do you think he would say to that?
He would be on this side of the phone talking about another fake-ass gangster pimp named Joe.
Okay, and I understand that you're talking about blood family. At what point does his daughter, or your daughter, for example, become in and of themselves, a complete human being in and of themselves? We can say that a 15-year-old, no way, they're not capable, so forth. Maybe a 20-year-old, no, not capable. 21's not right in your mind, that's not an adult?
Yeah, no, it definitely is. But you hope, as a parent, you instill these values in your children that they're not going to do stuff like that. And just to refer back on a couple of things that you had said, you said these people are going to these guys like Joe, knowing what they're getting. But, you know, that sounds also an awful lot like a drug dealer, because these drug addicts are going to these drug dealers looking for drugs, and they're giving it to them. Does that make it right just because these people are 21 and older? No, it's the same thing with an illegal thing like prostitution. When these people are coming to these people like Joe, you know, wanting to get into the business, it's illegal for a reason. Yeah, disease is out there running rampant while it's illegal. Could you imagine if you legalize it, what's going to happen to these people?
I got a question. Hold on. I got a question as to what is the arc of infection. You're talking about AIDS. And I'm wondering, in a controlled environment, perhaps like the one that they do in Las Vegas, or some of the establishments in Las Vegas where they work for whatever, hygiene, whatever you want to call that. I wonder what's the percentage of incidence of that kind of problem compared to just freestyle out in the club world. What do you think it is, more or less?
Well, I think it's a lot less, but I also think it's due to the population. You don't have as many people over in Germany doing what you have people here doing. And I'm not just talking about AIDS. And a lot of people talk about testing. Well, you know, testing you find out after the fact. You know, when you have things like herpes, you have your syphilis, gonorrhea, all these things like this. And when you get tested for it, you're testing to see if you already have it. And it's how many people have you been with since you've had it until you've gotten tested. And, you know, and you just, it's a widespread disease, and I think it's illegal for a reason. And second of all, the government's not going to legalize something that they can't regulate its quantity.
Okay, I am going to, you know, at least for the sake of argument, if nothing else, I'm going to agree with you on these issues, but please speak to this if you would. At what age is a woman qualified, in your mind, to go to somebody like Joe and say, hey, I'm old enough, I've been around the track once or twice, I got a little mileage here, I want to work for you? At what age would you think that that would be acceptable?
Well, I don't think you could put a number on it, Dave. I think because each person is their own individual and they grow mentally upon themselves. It's you could have a 17-year-old that's as mature as a 30-year-old should be, and a 30-year-old not as mature as a 15-year-old should be. So to put a number on it, I don't think you really can do that. It's based on the mental capacity of that person. But I don't think any age somebody should sit there and manage, quote-unquote, somebody else's body and how they're going to regulate their money and sleep with somebody else and take a percentage of it and call it protection money.
Well, it's not so much different than what a lot of boxers perhaps experience, particularly in the beginning of their career. But I'm going to wonder out loud again, if a 40-year-old woman walks in drug-free and says, I want to be a prostitute, you still have a problem with that person?
Yeah, I do. I definitely. And you mentioned boxing. Boxing is legal. It's a legal profession. Prostitution is totally illegal. It's illegal for a reason. I'm sorry to cut you off.
Okay, but, you know, again, I agree with you on most of your points here, but in terms of managing somebody who's damaging their body in pursuit of making the all-time paycheck, there is a lot of damage done in that sport as well. And you have just as much evil working behind the scenes as you do in the, you know, on the forum that we're discussing here. My friend, I think you have some excellent points. Thanks for giving us a call. Give it up, baby.
Big fan.
Come in, my youth. respect for my place to any other world.
I'm wearing her pajamas. I ride out hot potato. It's tickling my fancy. Speak up now, I can't hear you.
David Lee Roth in the mornings on 92.3 Free FM.
I get up and nothing ever gets me down. You got a tough, huh, I've seen the toughest around. And I know, baby, just how you feel. You gotta roll with the punches to get what's real. Oh, can't you see me standing here?
Okay, staying on topic, Roth Radio, 866-313-3733. Pamela from Philly.
Yes.
You're on.
Yes, I am.
Pamela, what do you think of this subject that we're discussing here today?
Well, I'm going to tell you what, you know, a lot of your questions that you wanted to know. I'm a prostitute from Philadelphia. I have been doing this, and I lied. I'm not 28, I'm 41. I've been doing it for 20 years.
Okay, can I ask you a few questions before
sure.
you give me your thoughts? What age were you when you started this, Pam?
I was 21.
Okay, and what encouraged you to do it?
Like I said, I didn't encourage myself. It found me.
Oh, so this was like a calling.
Girls, you know, that it finds you.
Okay, I'll take your word for this.
Yeah.
And how did you get your feet wet in the game?
How did I what?
How'd you get started?
Well, you know, I mean, at that age, when I was younger, it was kind of just like a promiscuous thing. It wasn't something, you know, I mean, a girl's going to be that way regardless. And I believe Joey, the way he was talking, you know, it's kind of like, you're going to do it anyways.
Okay, and you've been doing this for 20 years successfully now,
yes,
correct?
And I'm going to be late for work here soon. I have to be to work at 9, and I look at it as a job.
That's a fascinating take on this story. Now,
it's a job, and I take it very seriously.
And I imagine you sound like you take pride in your performance abilities,
yes,
correct?
Yes, I do.
Okay. And
yes,
you make a pretty good living at this?
About all the AIDS and all that, you know. I've never, ever had one person ask me, have you had an AIDS test?
Okay. And do you work in an establishment?
Yes.
Okay. And how many other gals work with you? How many colleagues do you have?
Well, I'm you know, there's a lot of girls underneath me now. That's how it works.
Ah, you. Yes. So you're like, you've worked your way up. You're a 4-star general then, right?
Yes.
Fascinating. And do you do out-call work?
I don't feel bad, but would I take a 15-year-old or a 20-year-old? Absolutely not.
Okay. What's the youngest guy that you would work with?
No. Yeah. It would be 20, like 21 or older.
Okay.
Because he has to take you to a bar.
Ah, okay. Do you have a permanent relationship outside the workplace?
Absolutely.
And is it with a guy?
Yes.
And what does he think about this?
He's fine with it.
He has no problem with that. What does he do for a living?
He's a musician.
Ah, okay.
As
well,
you can tell.
No, it's left of center. You know, the arts community has routinely lived together, just like you describe. Whether it's
yeah.
the musicians or the gals, you can toss in fashion models. You can toss in any kind of what you're doing can be considered kind of an art form, and it's all to the left of center from the normal culture here.
Exactly.
How long do you feel you're going to continue this?
Well, I mean, you know, and your co-partner or whoever answered the phone asked me, why would I do this instead of getting a real job? Well, I mean, I have an associate's degree. I could go get a job. I have a BA. I could go get a job anywhere I want. But that's exactly what they do. You know?
Okay, so you're saying that you have an active choice, that you made an
exactly.
optioned choice here.
Yes.
And you're making an educated choice.
Exactly.
Is this something that you feel you could do up into your 70s?
Well, obviously not.
Why, obviously not. Uncle Manny is Uncle Manny is 86, and his wife is 35 years younger than he is. She's smiling constantly. So is he. There's definitely a market for this.
No, I do look really good for my age, but I don't think I'll look that good.
Nevertheless, you know, the mind numbs up a little after 65, 70 years anyway. You squint your mind a little bit, and I'm asking you a serious question. If you had a daughter, Pam, what would you reflect to her about if she wanted to follow mom's footsteps?
Okay, and that's the other case I want to get to you, because every person that I ever spoke to, I was like, you know, I could be your daughter. Are you okay with this? Now, if they are okay with that in their mind, then everything's okay. If my daughter, and I do have a daughter.
How old is your daughter?
She's 11.
Okay. Is she aware of what mom does for a living?
Yes, she is.
And how did you explain that to her?
I told her. I said, this is what mom, you know, this is what I do. Now, you have a choice. She will not take that path. It's not because she doesn't respect me or demean me. She just doesn't want to go that route. She wants to be an artist.
Ah, this is an interesting story here.
Yeah.
And how much of a good living do you make? Give us an idea.
I'm doing well. I mean, you know, I could do better.
But you could do better.
If I were to choose a different profession, I could do better, but I would still want to do this.
And you do most of your business in Philadelphia?
Yeah.
And
I have to start at 9.
No, the mind reels as to, like, what do you do when you get to work? Because I open up the suitcases and I take out the CDs and I set up the microphone. What
work,
do you do?
What do you think I do?
Tell me.
Well, it depends on who I'm going to see.
And do you know in advance who you're
sometimes,
going to see?
No, listen, and this might sound query, but sometimes it's just a dinner date.
I fully understand that.
And that's all they want.
Hey, half the time that I go to the striptease, it's purely for the company. It's purely for the purely for the spoken word.
You understand that. Now, there's a girl's perspective on stripping. Why do you think she strips?
There's probably something that goes back into the childhood.
Now, I know you know this. It's one answer. It's short and easy. Why do you think a girl strips?
Oh, easily for money is the first issue there.
Why do you think I do my job?
Because it's a cash crop for you, correct?
Exactly.
But you say that it's something that was a calling to you, just as music was to me, that you knew all along that this is what you wanted to do?
Exactly. And it wasn't something that I feel bad about. It's not something I feel bad about or I disregard or I wish I would not have done.
Interesting call. Pamela, we salute you. Thanks for giving us a call.
Okay, thank you.
Good luck at work, huh?
Yeah.
Race down the highway there, 866-313-3733. And I was just reflecting on the gals at Daytona Beach here. Women involved in prostitution in Daytona Beach, Florida, have reportedly armed themselves and are searching for a serial killer. Rather than run from the man police labeled a serial killer, streetwalkers in Daytona Beach say they're seeking the serial killer out. My point in reading this is they're organizing. That's how unions got started, right? Animal, what are you thinking?
Yeah, I think she's getting organized because when she says she's Philadelphia, I got a friend that lives in Philadelphia. She used to be a porno star. I used to bodyguard for her in L.A. Her name was Menagia. And I asked her, hey, how did you get in the business? She said, well, my mama was a hoe and my grandmother was a hoe, you know. And then when she go to the wars in Vegas, she take her grandmother with her. You know, she was actually from Dallas, Texas and stuff. She came out to L.A., got into the business. I met her through Stoney Curtis. She was having some problems. Boyfriend showing up on the set being all crazy because she got a weapon that don't many girls have. She has an 8-inch tongue, Dave.
She can do push-ups with it,
yes,
huh?
She can, and she lives in Philadelphia now.
Outstanding. Maybe she'll give us a call next,
maybe.
Huh? Don't forget, coming up in just a little bit, we got Triple H. He's the 10-time world champion, one of the biggest stars in the WWE, and it's Saturday on NBC. It's going to be the first Saturday night's main event on the network in about 13 years. Wow, that was an interesting call.
Yes, it was.
The callers are getting real colorful. Have you noticed? We started off with a stalker. We got Joey. We got Pam here, who was in from Philadelphia. We'll take one more call here before we break away on this. Let's see if we can't put the exclamation point on the end of this. Beverly, calling in from Cleveland here. Bev, are you there?
Yes.
Okay, what's
You rock. Your show rocks. And as far as prostitution goes, it definitely should be legal. It's been around since way before. If anybody's got a Bible, they can go back in the Old Testament and they can read about it and read up on it. But the thing was, is my husband was in the Navy, and when he would pull up in a port, the first thing that I gave him when he went out to sea, I gave him this box, and he opens it up, and there's a vibrator in there. And he's like, what am I going to do with this vibrator? I said, this isn't for you. This is for me. This is what's going to keep me true to you while you're out to sea. And he cracked up with that. He really just didn't know, you know, it's like, all right, this is our first time going out to sea. But I told him he was going to be out to sea every 3 months for approximately 2.5 months underneath the water. And when he surfaces, you know, he's going to be with all the rest of the guys, and they're going to go up on the prowl. I told him, I says, if you can, I says, find somebody, if you can, that's, you know, that is clean, treat her like you would treat me, be there in the morning. But if there were places that he could go to that were regulated, that were clean, that were houses, where people were tested, I would have had no problem with that whatsoever.
Beverly, I like the way you think, and you sound like an exceedingly grounded young lady. How old were you when you had that conversation with your husband?
21.
Wow. And how old are you now, dear?
I'm 49, and damn proud of it.
Ah, and how did the relationship last? How did it go?
It was a good relationship. When he came back in from sea, I really didn't ask him any questions, and he didn't ask me any either. I am a committed person, and I love, but I've always separated love from sex.
Okay,
maybe
like it says in the Old Testament, perhaps, whatever happens in Vegas stays in Vegas, huh?
Well.
Weekday mornings on 92.3 Free FM.